Come on, y'all good? Y'all good? Glad you guys are awake. Glad you guys are here. What a wonderful time of worship it has been already. That is absolutely my favorite worship tune right now is All Hail King Jesus, man. It just connects me so much to God. I'm so grateful that he lets us. We pray before every service, and my prayer today was, thank you, God, for choosing me, that I get to do this, that I get to be a part of what's going on and to have so many cool people like you guys. And I just appreciate you so much for coming along on this journey and growing as we are. God's doing a good work. Amen. He's good all the time. Hey, can we just welcome all the new people? Again, this week we have brand new folks from this side to that. Every week, God keeps blessing us with new people, and we're so grateful you're here. I wish you'll take Brandon up on the connection card. Please fill that out if you would. And just drop it in those boxes on the back wall back there, and we appreciate that. We just would love to connect with you. A couple things before I get into the new message series today. One is that today we have Miss Donna with us. She's back over. She's sitting back here on the back row, and she is part of the women, well, the administrator, the leader of the Women's Resource Center here in our community right now. If you didn't get an opportunity to go by the booth out front beforehand, please take a few minutes, go by and see what God is doing through the Women's Resource Center. And I think a lot of us, most of you know, we support them financially a little bit a month, and that's the way they operate, is through our support and other churches' supports, and it's a nonprofit organization that helps really young families and families of people who are in a situation where they found themselves either pregnant, out of wedlock, or even in it. If they're just, and there are all kinds of issues that come along with that, and they give free pregnancy tests. They do free parent education in English and in Spanish. They are connected with adoption, give adoption education. They educate over abortion. And sadly, less people are coming to them about abortion issues because they've realized that this is a Christian organization that doesn't support abortion. So we just pray that people who are struggling with that will open themselves up to this opportunity to come and actually see they can help them through counseling, understand what abortion really is all about and how difficult that is on them, even post and pre and all that. They even deal with people who've already gone through that. And by the way, if you know somebody or you're part of somebody who's already done that, and there's a tremendous amount of shame and guilt and oppression and things that comes on people, and I just want you to know that God can forgive everything. Come on, y'all. God is good, and God can redeem, even though he redeemed me through my junk. Come on, y'all. So we just love being a part of a church and a part of a community where we can even post that happening. And in fact, if you're just messed up in any way, okay, you're in the right spot right now, okay? And we just want you to know that. That's why we have a Messiah. Anyway, they even deal not with just the women. Someone said, well, this is just a thing for women. No, men can go and get counseling and help and learn about educating them on being fathers and being good husbands and that kind of thing. What I love most about it, there's a long list of things here, but what I love most about it, and Liz and I were out there talking to Donna earlier, and as you keep hearing this repeated theme of, we want people to know Jesus. This is a very open, like, we're bringing people in here to help them, even to the point, you know, if you connect with people physically by giving items and things and support and all those things, you open a heart up to be able to give Jesus to that heart. And we've said it here, if we give people groceries and stuff and things and we don't give them Jesus, then we've not helped them at all. And so I really appreciate the focus that the Resource Center has on the Lord. And please go by there and support that. And just they got brochures. She's got brochures out there and all kinds of stuff and information. And she's kind of down in her back. So afterwards, if we get a couple of guys to help her load her stuff when she leaves, that would be a real, real blessing. And I know you guys will do that. Thank you so much for that already. Please get in a small group. It is small group season. Come on, y'all. It is time. I went through our list the other day, and I was just going to see who was not in a small group, because that's kind of the way pastors think. We can have almost like now a full house, and I'm thinking, well, who's not here? And what's going on? Why are they not here? And I start sending texts and such. But I'm going to look through. So many of us are in it. We've got more leaders than we've ever had, more co-leaders than we've ever had. We got a lot of people who are joining small groups, but a lot of you have not made taken that step yet. There's a form still up. The small groups themselves, you can't see, but there's a form still up on the website. Please go in and shoot somebody. It goes to a text. I think it goes to Montana and Caleb, an email or whatever. Shoot them an email and say, hey, I'm still interested in joining a group. Some groups have to close, like Freedom and others, that where once it starts, you can't join or add anybody else to it. But lots of groups are not that. My group, come on, Brendan. We'll take them anytime, won't we, brother? Come on. We'd love to have you on Monday nights, the best small group of all, and that is the developing leader within you. And it's kind of like cheating because I got the mic, okay? So I do that, but it is a great small group. And but listen, I'm pumped. One thing I'm pumped about, this is something I've not done yet. Liz and I have not done. We've not been in a small group together where one or the other was not leading it. And on Sunday nights, we get to go to the Alpha group here and just enjoy, man, and just learn and grow. I'm telling you what, man, and the Grotters are rocking it in there. It's going to be great. The Howsons are helping, and it's just a wonderful thing. And on I could go with. We got women's groups that meet through the week. We got men's groups that are meeting. Brandon's got a men's group, not a fan. Kyle Adelman, great stuff. We got men's freedom, women's freedom. Come on, y'all. There's no excuse. It's all through the week. Even got one in the morning. I'm going to Todd's group on Tuesday mornings, and y'all know what we're going to do. We're going to review the sermon for the week, all right? I don't even know what that's like. I have no idea what we're going to do, but they're going to straighten me out on some things, I'm sure. But no, it's going to be fun. If you want to go 7 o'clock Tuesday morning, it's all during the week. So please get us. If I said something about small groups today, all right, anyway. All right, so, and be at Impact today at 5. If you've never gone through the steps of Impact, please sign up today and go do that. I know I'm repeating the news, but listen, we're not communicating enough about this stuff. And I'm telling you, we got 3 or 4 people signed up right now. We need more. If you're brand new in this church and you want to know what we're about, today is the day to figure it out. Come at 5 o'clock. I promise you it'll be an hour of your time, and you'll learn about who we are. We'd love for you to be a part of us. We unashamedly want you to be here. We feel like, come on, y'all, do we have a church full of life? Come on, y'all. It is the most important thing for me that you understand that we are full of people. We're full of people. Someone said, how's your church going? I said, well, it's going great, except it's got people in it. So we tend sometimes to not get it right, and sometimes we mess it up, and sometimes we may walk past you and not speak in the moment because we, like Emily said, we're having a bad day or something's going on. We're human people, but we're also, and I'm going to preach it starting today, and I'm going to get way ahead of my sermon. That is, you're built for relationships, and you need to be with a family of God somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to go it alone, it's very difficult to do. I think it's impossible. I will say impossible to go it alone. And if you try it for a long time, you'll know. You'll know. Because loneliness stinks. And so it's really good to be together with God's people. God's people. I'm starting a new series today, and I'm really excited about it. And we're toyed with titles, kind of trying to come up with titles that communicate. And I'll share with you the why of this title later on, but we're just going to call this Spirit-Led Relationships. Spirit-Led Relationships. We need to be Spirit-Led people. And what does that even mean? We're going to talk about that a little more later in the message. And today I'm going to give you 2 truths and 3 principles. You got notes when you came in. You should have been handed a worship guide. There's some notes. Pull that out. By the way, if you want to jump on the website, can I say that? Is it cool to go on the website? Yes, it's open now. If you like digital notes, you can go to our website, discoveryal.church, right now. Open up the notes, and you can follow along and fill in the blanks and then email the notes to yourself, okay? If you want to do that, that's open for you to do. And I love the fact that so many of you like the notebooks out front, and you got little 3-ring binders, and you're binding it, and people are saving their notes. And I don't know, Vicky, what book are you on now? Like book, like 5 or something? I don't know. Vicky's been saving notes for a long time, and just if you want to do that, there's some 3-ring binders out there that's already paid for, and you'd like to do that, grab one of those, and you can keep these and really keep them over time and really go back and study. Now, to the message, 2 truths and 3 principles. First of all, number one, these are all related to generally with relationships. Let me back up. Let me give a little more introduction. Today, I'm going to talk about relationships in general, that everything that all relationships have to have these things if you want to have Jesus-centered relationships, okay? The month of February, we've always traditionally done some kind of relational kind of series. Last year, we did a series called Parenthood, and we talked about raising kids and discipline and all those fun things, and we talked about that. This year, what I want to do, and I have a reason, the reason behind it I think is legit, and when I say this, please, for all the single people and all the young people, don't turn this off because I'm going to say it's going to be predominantly a marriage series. Okay, please don't. I even toyed with not even saying that, just surprising you next week, but that's not fair. I want you to know that every principle that I'm going to teach you this time it comes out of the Word of God, and it's going to bless your marriage if you're married. It's going to bless your future married if you're not yet. It's going to bless your dating time if you're dating somebody. It's going to bless you in so many different ways. And today we're going to talk about relationships in general. Next week, the most dangerous of all for a man to preach about is wives love your husbands. Okay, and then the week after that, I'm going to preach about husbands love your wives. And then the last week of this series, I'm going to preach a message that I've never done before in my whole life, and that is we're going to talk about families love each other. And it's really a message centered on blended families and how blended families. So many of us now, I'm part of a blended family now, and there are dynamics about that that we all need to know and we all need to be blessed by, and I hope that's going to be a blessing to you as well. So now let's get into this. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all ready for some word? First of all, I want you to understand that God made us relational. Relational. Y'all look at your neighbor and say, I am a people. You say, I know that's not right. I am a person. No, you're not. You're not saved as a person. You're saved in the kingdom as a people. God said, I will be your God and you will be my people. You'll be my people, not my person. And our culture lends itself to say, no, you don't get in my business, I don't get in your business. You do your thing, I do my thing. You believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe. And I guess there's some truth to that, but the point is when you get in kingdom, you're with people. And it's messy and all that kind of stuff, but God made us to be in community. Scripture says from the beginning that God created man and woman. He created the world, and he created man and woman and put them in the garden. And when he did, when he created man, he said, it is very, very good. And the first time God said it is not good, he said it is not good that man should be by himself. It's interesting that right before he said that, he had Adam, or maybe right after, well, it's read. But anyway, before he made Eve, he had Adam name all the animals. And I used to wonder why he did that. Why did he have all the animals? Why did he do that? Well, he's naming all the animals. He gets to see all these animals and all these. And he goes, oh, okay, he got to noticing something. That everything's got a male and a female. Everybody's got the two genders. And I know that's another whole subject for another time. But, yeah, he noticed all of that. And he got to looking, that ain't nothing for me. Really, I mean, some of them are close, but no, that ain't happening, no. And so nobody for him, and God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. King James calls it a helpmeet, but helper comparable is something that we would relate to a little bit better. But it's someone who comes into the life that's more like Adam and someone he can have relations with, not just sexual, but emotionally and mentally and all these things, to have a relation with. And so he creates woman and he brings her before the man. And the Hebrew writers and the Hebrew scholars say that he translated it something like this when he saw her. He said, whoa, man. That's how we got woman. Whoa, man. Now, in the English, it says, here is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. You don't have to say it in English because anybody knows that all the people back in the Bible days spoke with some kind of cool accent. It couldn't have been American, And he looks at it, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken from man. There's so many messages I could preach right there, but I'm not going to because I just want you to understand that he says it's not good to be alone. It is not good to be alone. He made her that way, and he brought her, and they had a one-flesh relationship. And he said, you leave father and mother, you cleave to your wife, and you weave a relationship. It's this one-flesh relationship, and it's the most intimate physical relationship on the planet. And the reason our world, one of the major reasons our world is so messed up right now is because we have skewed it in so many different ways. Right now, our world is messing it all up, y'all. Come on. We have to stand for what is true no matter what is being told. And we have to stand for it with love, absolutely. We got to love people where they are, but we cannot leave people where they are. We have to teach truth about what he says about this. And he just says, we believe in the traditional Judaic, Christian, whatever Bible view of marriage. God created a man and a woman, and he put them together in the garden to be in a perfect paradise relationship, naked and did not even know it. Y'all are all like, is he going to start talking about nakedness now? Is he going to do that? No, the Bible started it. Then they sinned, and their eyes were open, and it was like, oh, no. And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just say that no matter how our world has messed that up, whether it's gender confusion or whether it's divorce or whether it's heterosexual sin or homosexual sin, sexual sin, period, fill in the blank with whatever ones you want to put in there, is all against what God wants us to be doing. And those of us who have gotten out of spiritual order in that know exactly what that's like. If you've got yourself caught up in porn, or if you've got yourself caught up in a situation where you're having an affair, or you're caught up in a situation where you're living the lie that all the homosexuality and all that stuff is put out there, and you're caught up in that, let me tell you something. God's grace will cover it all, but you got to turn your life to Him and give your life to Him. And we love you enough to let you know that we're super glad you're a part of us. Because we're all messed up in some way. And I understand that. And I'll be honest with you. It's hard to deal with sometimes. And part of the reason I'm doing this series is because some of y'all in the room, I'm not going to look at you. I'm going to look this way. Some of you had some marriage trouble going on. Let's just say it that far. And some of my outside of even marriage, just shacking up. And in all these relationships, if you're in this room and you know I've already told you in the counseling session, if I ever preach about this, don't get mad at me. It's just the Bible. But I love you too much to leave you there, right? And you know because inside of you, there is something inside of you that tells you God put it there, and it's the nudge of the Spirit. And every time you shut it down and say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I want to do what I want to do anyway. It gets easier, doesn't it? It gets easier, but there's always that nudge of the Spirit inside of you that's saying, and y'all, I firmly believe that families that have children or spouses or any family member or anybody, listen, it is such a difficult thing to deal with. And I just want you to know that we love you. I don't care who you are or where you came from. And we're going to help you find what the truth of God's word says. And we're going to do it in love. That's a commitment that as your pastor I want to make. And I want us to make as a church to the community. Because this one flesh relationship is that important. Can I get an amen from the married people? This show is good, right? It is good. And so, and there's lots of reasons why it's good that we're not going to go into, right? Come on. And I want to tell you number two. That's principle number one, that God made us relational. So we love everybody, no matter their junk. Did y'all hear that? Okay. Number two, relationships are hard work. Relationships are hard work. I didn't say they were hard. People say, oh, it's just so hard. They say, marriage is just so hard. No, it's not. It's hard work. It's hard work. And when you don't want to do the stuff that you got to do hard work, a lot of people buck against hard work. We live in a culture that says, I'm not even going to work hard at anything I do. Do you ever check your bags at the fast food restaurant before you leave the restaurant? Do you ever do that? Why do you do that? Because you know the people don't care anymore. They just throw it in a bag. Liz got something in a bag the other day that I'd never seen before. She got a hamburger that was not only, it was put together right, but it was folded in half. Have you ever had a hamburger folded in half? Somebody was not doing their job. She opened it. She said, well, that's interesting. Y'all know that our world right now is just like, it's like nobody cares anymore. And when I preach like this, it always makes me wonder, is it being heard from the heart that it's coming from? Listen, this is hard work. It's like paddling upstream in a canoe. You can do that in a canoe. They're made to be able to paddle pretty easily and move something along. But if you stop paddling, what happens? You're just at the mercy of the current. And, y'all, in our world right now with relationships, we do not want to be at the mercy of the current. And if you find yourself in that, we really want to help you get out of that. It's not hard. It's just hard work. And God said, this is so like Bible 101. Do to others what you would have them or like for them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. So in all relationships, understand, God made you relational. That's why you desire to be with other people, and some more than others. You have a greater desire not to be. Some of you do, but you ultimately, down deep inside, you need other people. Number two, it's hard work, and Jesus did the hard work. He said, whatever you do, whatever you want others to do to you, you do to them. This is a proactive thing. You don't sit around and wait till your spouse goes, well, I'm going to do something. I'll do something nice for them when they do something nice for me. It's not passive. It's you decide. You wake up in the morning and you go, hey, what can I do? You go to bed at night, what did I do well? What did I not do well? And how can I do better tomorrow? This is the golden rule all the time. And if we did that in all of our relationships, and no matter what people were or acted like, we would still love them. And every time you forgive somebody, every time you right a wrong, every time you show a kindness to somebody that nobody else wants to show kindness to, every time that you make right, do something well and do something good on the sight of, in the eyes of Christ, you're doing what Jesus did to all the people in his world. Have you noticed that Jesus was a jerk magnet? He drew to him everybody else that nobody else wanted in the world. In fact, they tried to kick him out of society, and they tried to throw him out of society. And Jesus would smack against that by saying stuff like, "You scribes and Pharisees, you guys that show your prayers and you look at how good I am and how religious I am. Woe to you! That means that ain't good. Woe don't mean stop the horse. It means that's not good. Woe to you, scribes. You look so good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones." He said, "You look like a whitewashed tomb. You got the tomb rock all done, but if you dug the grave up, there's still dead people inside." That's how, and he would preach against that kind of thing. And he would draw people unto him, people that were the dregs of his society. And so I'm trying to get you to understand that every time you forgive and you right a wrong and you love somebody else that nobody else wants to love, you're being just like Jesus to them. Isn't that fun? Even when it makes people scratch their head and go, "Really? You remember the woman that came in the house of Simon, the Pharisee? You guys that know your Bible?" He said, she was this a woman of ill repute, and she starts washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiping them with his hair. And old Simon, under his breath, said, "If he just knew what kind of woman this was." Well, he didn't realize he was in a room with a guy who could read everything he said and thought. He said, "Simon, you're supposed to wash my feet when I come in, but you didn't have a servant to do that. She's come in. She hasn't stopped washing my feet. And she's serving me. You leave her alone. Let her do what she's doing." And he just set people free like that all the time. All the time. Y'all, setting people free is so much fun. It's so much fun. And so I just want to encourage you. Relationships are hard work. When you join a small group, when you get on a team, when you serve, when you teach children. Right now there are people back there that's not getting to hear this amazing preaching like y'all are. And they're back there with your kids, loving your children, teach them about Jesus. That is a servant heart. And the people who do that just are huge in my mind. Because they're giving up something they would love to be a part of just so that you can be a part of it. And every time you go back there and pick up your kids, you ought to say thank you. And pat them on the back. And really, you ought to be praying for them. Pray for them. Because if they don't do it, they're going to have to put me back there with them. You do not want that with your kids at all. So those are two truths. I want you to understand those two truths. Now three principles very quickly. Bless you. All relationships have at their core three things. If you want a Christian, Jesus-centered relationship. Now, if you're in this room or you're listening online, by the way, we didn't say hi to our online church. Let's say hi to them. Hey, guys, how y'all doing? Good to see y'all. I'm sorry. I got so tore about all that stuff. These are non-negotiables, by the way. If you want a Christian relationship, none of these can be negotiated. They're all true, and you cannot compromise. You cannot compromise. And so the first one is this, and that is Jesus is the foundation of all relationships. He's the foundation of our relationships. Now, what I'm going to do today with two passages of Scripture is I'm going to take them because when I thought foundation, what is the verse that comes to your mind in the Bible when you think foundation? Some of you. There is no foundation given among men whereby we must say except Jesus Christ, right? It's in Acts. And I thought of that. Oh, it's in Corinthians. I thought of that. Not everything's in Acts. Although the church I grew up in thought it was. Anyway, and so the Corinthians got some good stuff in it too. And Paul's talking to people and he says, "I can't even talk to you like you're spiritual people." He says, "You're so, like, spiritually blind. I can't even talk to you about spiritual things. I got to talk to you with some milk instead of meat. I can't feed you the heavy stuff." And the reason behind the why of that was that these people were actually playing favorites. They say, "Oh, I like Apollos. He's my preacher. I like Paul, though. He's my preacher. Some Cephas. I like Cephas. He's my preacher. And they were calling out these guys' names, and they were trying to put them on pedestals that they shouldn't put them on. And Paul's trying to teach them not to do that. And when I thought of the verse, oftentimes when you're preaching and you're writing a message, you'll think of a verse, and then you'll go to that verse in the Bible, and the context will mess you all up. You still want to use it, but you need to be honest with the context. And so I'm going to read this context, which is really about not playing favorites with people and when it comes to leaders and that kind of thing, but I want you to hear the principles, especially for marriage, that are in this text that will help you stand on the foundation of Jesus, okay? So he tells them, this is in 1 Corinthians, it's in your notes, it'll be on the screen. After all, he said, who is Apollos? Who is Apollos? And who is Paul? Those are rhetorical questions. They knew who they were. He was just saying that we're nothing. We're just humans. Apollos was a great teacher. Paul was an incredible teacher, wrote most of the New Testament. They were great teachers and great people and awesome preachers and so on, but they weren't Jesus. And Paul is saying, you don't put us up on the pedestal. He goes on to say, we are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. In other words, we taught you about Christ, and that's all we are, as people who brought Jesus to you. And look at this. Y'all have to underline some of this stuff. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. What would happen in your marriage right now if each of you did what the Lord gave you to do? What would happen all of a sudden if your focus wasn't on what you want and what you need and what and maybe even something outside of all of that? It was, the focus was on serving Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You did it yourself, and then she did it herself, or both, vice versa, whatever. You guys were working on that. What would happen at your work all of a sudden if you became the kind of person who just was the employee of the month because you served Jesus? And unfortunately, a lot of workplaces, you can't even name the name Jesus anymore, but you sure can act like him. And you can make people curious, and you can create value in their life. And they'll say, what in the world is wrong with you? I say, hey, let's meet after work, and I'll tell you what's wrong with me. And you can share Christ with them. And on I could go with that. Friendships, doesn't matter. You guys in the youth group, man, I'm telling you, y'all are together. And what y'all feel when you're together is more about what Jesus is than what y'all are for each other. And if you keep that the focus, then there's not going to be this cliquish stuff. Then there's not going to be this thing that all humans get into, by the way, but tends to be a little stronger with teens. It's not going to matter because you're going to love everybody around you. That's what's going to happen. So I'm saying this all works in every relationship. Verse 6, he says, I planted the seed in your heart. Apollos watered it, but it's God who made it grow. I did some work. Apollos did some work, but God's the one doing the real work. You know, if you get through and listen to any pastor preach or a song or whatever it is, and you say, man, that was so good. Thank you for that. I just, out of my head, and I appreciate those compliments, and I enjoy that. It blesses me to get encouragement, but it's not me that's doing anything here. If you get mad at what I preach and I'm preaching the word, that's not me doing it. I didn't do anything. I'm just a messenger. Don't kill the messenger. Get mad at the one that really you ought to be mad at. I challenge you to get mad enough at him that you say, I don't understand this stuff, Lord. You need to explain this to me, because he will. You start seeking like that, he will. And that may be out of your comfort zone a little bit, but talk to him about that. Paul said, I just watered and planted. Apollos watered, I planted, but it's God who made it grow. Verse 7, he said, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. That speaks to the church, by the way. What's our word for the year? Does anybody remember? Unify. We unify. If we're going to unify, it can't be about what I do and what you do. It's about what we do. If you take the I out of it, we become a we. It's us. It's us, not just me. And a serve day last week, by the way, was an incredible thing because of that. People just got together and worked. And so he goes on to say, verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters, check it out, circle these two words, work together. Some of the greatest marriage advice in the world right there is work together. Together. So many of the people that I deal with in counseling come to me they come to me because the difference has gotten so difficult, and usually by the time they get to me, it's already kind of like messed up so bad it's hard to get back together. And I'm watching some miracles, by the way, take place for some of you even in this room, and I'm watching it happen right before my eyes. And I can tell you, it's some of the most discouraging work I've ever been doing, ever, ever. Until somebody says, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their heart, and they break, and they shoot me a text or send me a call, and they just pour it all out. And when that happens, when that stuff starts happening, I know Holy Spirit's doing something, and God's doing something in their life, and they're beginning to move. And before long, you're going to start seeing a come together. Those of you who have people in your family that you know that are trying to split up right now, we're praying and we're texting and we're loving and we're caring. We're going to do everything we can to create reconciliation and power because we want people to work together. If you don't work together in your relationships with other people, you are messing it all up. And if your relationship's messed up, sometimes don't look at what they're doing. Try to figure out what you're doing. What am I doing in this? What am I doing in this? And work hard and work together with, check it out, circle these two words, the same purpose. It's got to be working together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. I get it. This is not a context on marriage, but you see how this is working? You see how that this text can really apply to almost any relationship, the idea that when we work together, we get rewarded for that work, for we're both God's workers, and you are God's field. If you look at your mate as God's field, and you look at your mate as God's place for you to be ministering to, then all of a sudden, if you look at someone who you think is like Jesus, you're less likely to do stupid stuff at them. If you could ever do that. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody wants to diss the Lord. And you just back up and you say, wait a minute. This isn't Liz. I'm not speaking to Liz this way or that way. I'm speaking to Christ that way or this way. We could ever visualize it in that way. My children aren't my children. They're Jesus. You guys as a church, I don't look at you and think of you as, if I could just ever see you, you're just Jesus. And that's the way we begin to treat each other. Is this making any sense? I hope it is. Because God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But and there's a lot of teaching here I can't do because I don't have time. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Paul says if you'll build your relationships on the foundations of Christ and you start building on that and you keep building on it and adding to it what Christ would add to it, what would Jesus add in this moment? What would Jesus do in this particular situation? We keep asking that. He says the very thing, for no one can lay a foundation other than one that we already have, and that is Jesus Christ. If everything's founded on him, then you're in pretty good standing with everybody else around you. And let me tell you this. The people that don't care and the people that have hearts that are bad, you can't stop that. I can't fix that. One of the toughest realizations to me as a young preacher was that I can't fix anybody because I'm a fixer. You give me a problem, I'm immediately going to start trying to fix it. Even if you don't want me to, I'm going to fix it anyway. And some of the greatest trouble I've ever gotten into is trying to fix somebody else's problem and said, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to listen to me about it. So being that, if you're on the foundation of Christ and you're building your marriage and you're dating, if you're dating right now or about to date or getting close to dating, or if you're thinking about one of these days dating somebody, you make yourself a list and you stay with your list. You got to do this, and you got to be that, and you got to be that, and you got to be that. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, there's nobody like that in the world. I beg to differ because I believe this. I believe that if you have a heart searching after Christ, and you're searching after that person, and you're searching after that relationship, and you're searching after what it is, and it is of God, God will have that other person waiting on you. And you may just be in Walmart. Maybe not Walmart, but anyway, you may be in Gucci one day. I don't know where you're gonna be. You may be somewhere and you go. And you spend the rest of your life going, wow. Every time Liz walks in the room, I go, oh, tis my wife. Verily, dear, I see you today. It's wonderful. She's shaking her head no. She don't do that to me either, but. Same way with my kids. I see Brandon, I just go, oh, he's my son. He's my boy. And he's thinking, Dad's drunk? What's Dad going on? But I laugh about that, but let me just tell you, if you could ever start, whether you did it that way or not, that would be kind of goofy in our culture, right? But if there are ways you can do that. And here's the thing in marriage. If you don't know how to do that, the best way is to ask, how can I do that best? And then go do it. How simple is that? So simple, do unto others. It's the whole thing. Man, I got so much. I'm getting ahead of myself in my marriage part. But number two, sacrifice is, maybe that's a good segue into sacrifice, right? Sacrifice is the attitude of relationships. Scripture says this, this is how we've come to understand the experience of love. How we experience love. This is how we experience love. By the way, that last blank was attitude. I know I jumped real quick into the verse. So some of you are like, A-T, and you're like, oh, man, it's already gone. Anyway, it's attitude. He said, Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers. That includes your spouse. That includes your friends. That includes all the people around you. All the people around you. And I'll even go as far, because I've seen Jesus do it. Even the unbelievers, we just simply love because he loved us. You know, one of the hardest things in the world for you to do is to take on a choice of an attitude. If you're, well, I'll say me. Maybe you can do it really easily. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, it is just so hard for me to go, okay, I'm going to choose the right attitude. I'm going to choose the right attitude. I'm going to be the right person. I'm going to say the right things. I'm going to do the right things. Yeah, we have to start making that choice. If the people that you know of right now who are in trouble in their marriages would just simply make better choices about how they talk to each other and sacrifice and make the other person more important than they are, how would that change? Come on, y'all. This is so easy. It's the JOY acronym. We used to sing it in Pew Packers class. Y'all remember me telling me about that up front. We'd meet at 6 o'clock on Sunday night or 5 o'clock, and we'd sing Pew Packers songs. Because we'd be chair packers here. But anyway, we did pew packers. And we'd sing all these little songs. And J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this must surely mean Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that's just Bible 101. If you could ever live that out in our relationship, it's an attitude and it's a mindset. And listen, attitudes are choices. How many times have I done something silly with my attitude and go, hey, man, I didn't mean to do that? You apparently made a choice to do it in the moment. It is so hard for us to take responsibility for our own selves, especially in this culture. The quicker you do that, happier you're going to be. Attitude's your choice. And then the final thing is this. Submission is the posture of relationships. You know, sacrifice is giving it all up. Jesus is where we stand. He's the foundation. He's the rock on which we stand in all the things that we do. And we choose not to put anything else, not another person, not another human, not another anything, above, not another, whatever it is, above Jesus and the foundation that we stand on. The second thing was we sacrifice ourselves for the relationship. We give ourselves up. What we want to do, we give up in order that someone else can be blessed and loved. And I'll just be honest with you, in marriage counseling, it's one of the hardest things for me to get people to see is to sacrifice. If you'll give that up, then your marriage relationship will be better. Or if you'll stop doing this and so on. And we could go on with that, but the last thing is this. In order to be able to sacrifice, you're going to have to submit. Submit. And all the husband says, yeah, baby, next week we talk about them wives submitting to husbands. And we will. And the wives are going, oh, no. You're going to talk about submission in a culture where women are ruling right now? Women don't rule, God does. And then the following week, you think the men are going to get off easy, and we're going to be able to have a man party and say, you women just get it right and do what you're supposed to do, and everything will be fine. Nope. He don't let us off. He says, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's a choice. Jesus had a choice. He could have walked away from all of it, and we'd all be doomed to hell. But he said, I'm not going to do that. Husbands, our challenge is going to be harder than you. This message I'm going to preach to men, and this may make you not even want to come. But if it does, that tells me where your heart is. Now, those of you who can't be here, I'm not going to push that. I'm just saying, if it scares you off, understand, it'll be the greatest challenge you've ever had to hear that message and to adhere what we're going to call you to do. Same for women next week. Y'all just come. And love me anyway, because it's in the Word of God. It's not me, it's Him. So, I've got a whole lot more text to unveil to you. Y'all, I'm just going to take a couple minutes and do this, okay? Y'all know we're getting close to the end because the worship team's up here. But y'all need to really focus for a minute with me, okay? Because the next point, the next text I'm going to give you is the reason why I call this Spirit-led relationships. And so, sharing this text with Liz this week, and she sent back a couple of things like, well, what about Spirit-led this or Spirit-led that? And y'all know that I've been in pursuit of Holy Spirit for a while now. Y'all know that's going to keep going, by the way. And even when I mess it up, I still pursue Him. And I've just been reading this text wrong all my life. And you guys in the CFC are going to listen to this text in a minute. You grew up in that. You're going to go, really? Is that what that actually says? Because Ephesians 5 is not about how to worship without an instrument in church. And the way I came to that conclusion was just simply read the text. I can't do the whole chapter, but I want you to focus a little bit with me on Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 15. He says, be careful how you live. That's what Ephesians 5 is about. Be careful how you live. If you want to sum it up in one sentence, that's what it's about. Be careful how you live. And he gives them all kinds of instruction about it. In this particular text, he says, don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Can you see how this might connect with submission and marriage? Don't be foolish. Submit. Back up. Let somebody sacrifice. Give up. The quicker you do that, the happier you're going to be. He says, don't act thoughtlessly. Y'all look at your neighbor and say, hey, sometimes you just act thoughtless. I'm sorry, you just do. You look at me. I do the same thing. Sometimes we just do. And he says, don't do that. You got to think about what you're going to do. He says, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Before you act on something you're thinking, think about what would God want me to do in this moment, right now, at this time. That just takes some discipline to do. And not all of us are going to have it all the time. And some of us will have it some of the time. But that's what he's calling us to. Understand what the Lord wants. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. And it will. No lessons on drinking right now. If you want to know what I feel about that, that's fine. If you want know what God feels about it, he said, don't be drunk with wine. Because it'll ruin your life. I can take you to about probably 100 graves right now who people who took that verse and said, nah, I'm going to be drunk with wine, do what I want to do. And they're in a grave because of it. He didn't say don't drink wine. Don't get drunk with it. But the next part's more important than that. He says, be drunk on the Holy Spirit. That's not what the translation says. No, but that's what it means. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't imbibe yourself up with stuff in this world, whether it's alcohol or sex or drugs or whatever you want to, whatever's out there. It's all out there. It's all out there right now. And the confusion in our world about all these different things that we've been talking about today comes from the fact that everybody wants to get drunk on what makes them feel good. And y'all, if you let your feelings rule your life, you are in trouble. I've said it over and over again in my own life. The person with the most feelings always loses. Because you let the world beat you up. You know how I know that? Because that's me. And I let it happen so many times. He said, don't just get what you want to feel. And every time I've gone off of what I feel and do what I want to do, I wind up myself in a dumper somewhere. And I have to call somebody and say, would you just pray for me? I messed up today. I thought this. I looked at that. I said that. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I messed up. I let my feelings get in the way. And I didn't do the right thing. Thank God for some of y'all. Y'all just don't know what that means to me when I'm able to do that. He says to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and don't use a piano in church. That's not what it says. That's how we interpreted it. Y'all think I'm crazy, but I grew up in a church that said that about that verse. And I love my heritage. But you know what we missed in that more than we missed in instrumental music? We missed Holy Spirit. And y'all listen, in your relationships, no matter what they are, no matter where they are, if Holy Spirit can't be the center of it, you need to repent. You need to change. You need to go back and stop doing what you're doing and turn your life over to God and let Holy Spirit drive your car. Give Him the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Holy Spirit, take my life and you make it what you want it to be. I started praying again the psalm that says, Lord, search me and know me. If there's anything inside of me that's messed up, I need you to come in and take care of it, because I can't do it. I can't. And you can't either. You can't. You want to give your kids the best gift in the whole wide world? Give them a Holy Spirit-led life. Give them a God-centered life. Give them a Jesus-focused life. And you live that in front of them, and they will sing Jesus' praises, and you'll get all the rewards of watching your kids grow up. And maybe, hey, listen, they're not going to always get it right, but you know the seed is there. And when they do, you're going to be able to say, thank you, God, for getting them through this. For getting them through this. I'm telling you, sing and make music in your heart. By the way, when you get filled with the Spirit, something comes out of your mouth. Always in the Bible. And give thanks to God for everything, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And further, listen, verse 21 is the passage we miss. Guys love it after 21 when it says, wives, submit to your husbands. Wives love it when it says, husbands, love your wives. But verse 21 says this before it says anything. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And those of you who've been in any counseling session with me in your marriage, if you've ever come in when you hear me talk about the triangle theory, it is so true that if you put God at the top of your triangle and you're down here and your spouse is down here, as you get closer to Christ, you will inevitably get closer to each other. And some of you who've lived the opposite of that, where you tried and you worked hard and you did the right things and your spouse didn't, you've seen the ravages of divorce and you've seen the garbage that it brings into your life when the triangle theory's all messed up and you wonder, what happened to my spouse? What happened to my best friend? What happened to this situation? And you know what it is. Somebody got out of spiritual order. And when it happens, and it keeps happening over and over and over again, listen, we live in a disposable society that says, if it don't work, I'll just throw it away and get another one. That's why people dumpster dive, because we throw away so much stuff that other people want, they get a dumpster and get it out and go use it. Y'all, we do that with relationships. We look at somebody and say, well, they say they're gay, so I got to throw them out. No, you don't. You better not throw them out, because God's not throwing them out. He loves them, and he wants them to do what God says in the Word. Absolutely. I know growing up in the church I grew up in, divorce was the death nail of your coffin. If you got divorced, no matter why you got divorced, you were kicked out of services. You weren't able to participate in things. Listen, everybody on this stage has got a mess up somewhere in their life. And everybody I'm looking at does, and everybody online does. And if you say you don't, that's a mess up. Listen, I'm not telling you that all those things are easy to deal with. They're not. But we are not afraid of what the enemy tries to throw us. We're just not afraid of it. We don't like it, and we're uncomfortable with it. And sometimes it's hard to deal with in our culture and our way and what we're doing. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not afraid of the truth. I never thought I'd live to see a day when it would be harder for kids to talk about Jesus in school than it is a sexual topic. But it's here. I never thought I'd see it. And what we have to do right now is we have to start making the decision whether or not we're going to follow Christ when somebody walks up to us and says, Lord Christ or Lord whoever. And we got a choice in the moment to say yes or no to Jesus. Listen, you don't have to wait. Would you stand with me, please? You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till somebody gives you that choice straight up in your face or whatever. You make that choice right now. Some of you are struggling. Some of you struggle in your relationship. Some of you struggle with my message today at some level. I just want to ask you to please just take a step back and learn that only by God's Spirit can I hear these things from a spiritual point of view. So I'm asking you right now to make a choice. We have prayer warriors all around this room, men and women who want to pray with you. You say, well, man, I had it right and I messed it all up and I walked away from it. They want to pray with you. You may have a sin in your life that you can't even outwardly talk about. You can't even outwardly talk about yet. But these people here are trained to pray with you over anything you want to pray about. And it stays right there. and they love you that much that you got it. Listen, y'all, you got to say it. You got to say, this sin is messing me up. And the sooner you say it, the enemy has no control. We don't. Give it up over God right now. Come right now. Come talk to somebody. Come pray for somebody while we're singing. We're going to sing a song called Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. And I'm just asking, we've already prayed that God would just open up and pour out a blessing through the Spirit today. That miracles could happen. There's nothing worth giving up your spirit life for. So I'm going to ask everybody to begin to pray right now. If you're just comfortable, bow your head right where you are, just pray right where you are. You don't have to come up here. Just give your life, give it over to Him. Give it over to Him right now, please. Oh, come and get set free right now. His presence. Get set free. Come up here today if you've got somebody in your life you need to pray for. They need to just come and pray over them if it's not even you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Come. Get prayed over. Come on. Set it free. Your shame can get gone in Jesus. The people in this room right now, God. People online right now. Somebody sitting in their living room, God. I pray that you will flood their room right now with your spirit. Help them to know you, Lord. It's up to you, God. You can touch their hearts. We know. We know. Come on, take a step.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Talk the talk, that we do what we do, God. We pray, Father, that you will imbibe our lives, that we will become completely filled up with you so much that all we ever do is spill out for you, spill out for Jesus, and show Jesus to the world. And God, we can't do it on our own. God, I pray over right now the people who really wanted to take a step for prayer, that maybe just whatever barriers there, God, I just pray that you will let them know that you hear their heart. You hear their voice. I pray. pray, God, that we will continue as a church, Lord, to center our lives on prayer and center our lives on you. And that every person that's listening to this right now, Lord, that we will turn our lives completely. I pray for the marriages, God, that are in trouble. I pray for the people right now, Lord, who are struggling from something in their past, struggling for something that's going on right now in their lives, struggling with a decision to make, a feeling that they have, a fear that they have. God, I pray against all these things, Father, that you will come into the hearts and lives of people, that everybody in this room that's struggling in some way will feel the freedom that is found in Jesus, that through Christ that we can be free indeed. I pray, God, that you will bless us in that. And as we leave this place today, God, I pray that you will have us so full of you, so full of you, that everywhere we go, that people will sense your presence, even prior to us arriving. Not that we get any glory, Lord, but you get it all. We love you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, what a great day. Come on, y'all give Jesus some praise right there. That's good. I love you guys, man. It's so good to have you here today. So many of our guests. If you completed a connection card, please put that in the box in the back there and let us connect with you. And hey, go out and see Donna at the booth with the Women's Resource Center. And thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for being the best church ever. Can I just say that to you? I love you. I'm having more fun doing ministry than I ever have in my life. And you make it that way because you're such a great church. And so we love you. Have a great rest of your week. God bless you.